Good evening. It's good to be back up here to be able to bring you the message this evening. And this evening's lesson will be coming. The title I chose was Choose Your Path. Choose Your Path. And this is Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6. And in this lesson, we'll see that our path should be made straight. And then we also will see that destruction is also a path that could be taken. So Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6, the Bible reads, "In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." You know, do people know that you are a Christian? Do they know that? Or are we telling those around us? You know, if we are living right, you know, they may know that we are different. But we should be letting them know that we are a Christian. Are you acknowledging God in your life? Are you acknowledging Him in your life? You know, many times we have a hard time acknowledging Him all the time in front of people we know. You know, I think of Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 14. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 14, the Bible reads, "Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men." You know, we are more apt to be worldly than godly. And also in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 19, "The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble." You know, we know plenty about darkness. The devil is associated with darkness. Most evil happens in the dark. John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. And this is Jesus to Nicodemus. "This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil." Verse 20, "For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed." And then verse 21, "But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God." So many times we think our deeds that are done will not come into fruition, but they will, good or bad. You know, we can't hide anything from God. We can't hide anything from God. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14, the Bible reads, "The conclusion when all has been heard is, fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil." You know, many in the Bible chose their path. Paths have consequences. You know, we think of people like Adam and Eve. You know, they got kicked out of the garden for disobedience. Moses, you know, he didn't get to cross over with his people to the land of Egypt for his disobedience. Even though he lost his way to the land of Egypt, you know, he didn't want others to miss out on what he was missing out on. Noah obeyed by, and those were people that disobeyed. Now, here, let's talk about a couple that did obey. Noah, he obeyed by building an ark with specific details on how to build it. And he also preached as he was building the ark. He saved 8 souls from the flood. You know, that may not seem like very many, but if we can turn one soul around, that's a good thing. You know, in Luke chapter 15, and talks about the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the prodigal son. And they all point to the lost. You know, about the lost sheep, we know in verse 7 of Luke chapter 15, "I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." Also in Luke 15 and verse 10, "In the same way, I tell you there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And then about the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 and verse 32, "But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and has been found." You know, we must keep this in mind as we preach and teach the gospel, because not all will come to the knowledge of what they must do, and not all will obey it. We know in Acts chapter 2, 3,000 souls were added that day. But we know there were more than that that were listening. There were more than that that was listening. How many turned away? We don't know. Abraham saved his son Isaac. He was obedient. He was willing to offer up his son as a sacrifice. Genesis chapter 22, verses 11 and 12. Genesis chapter 22, verses 11 and 12. The Bible reads, "But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' And he said, 'Here I am.'" Verse 12. "He said, 'Do not stretch out your hand against the lad, and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." You know, many others who took the right paths. We know there were many others. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction." And there are many who enter through it. Verse 14, "For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few that find it." You know, this is very true, and we must want to try and turn people back to God. So many are interested in pleasing men or pleasing themselves than they are pleasing God. You know, Paul had it right in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, the Bible reads, "But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who examines our hearts." Many times we forget that God is the one who examines our hearts. So if we have evil thoughts, He knows that. He knows our thoughts. Our thoughts can get us in trouble because they can turn into actions. And we have to be careful about that. Actions speak louder than words. Psalm 16 and verse 11. Psalm 16 and verse 11. "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever." You know, the thing about a path is that we get to choose our path. There's death and there's destruction. And these are both spiritual things. Spiritual death, spiritual, we get to choose that. That's it. That's all the choice that we have. We can live righteously or we can live worldly. And that worldly can lead us to that destruction. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. The Bible reads, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world." Verse 17, "The world is passing away and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. If we do His will, we will live forever in eternity in heaven." We talked about that this morning. Heaven is a wonderful place and we should all want to go there. God does not ask too much of us. He does not ask too much of us, but sometimes to us, anything is too much. And sometimes we think about that. We always make it harder on ourselves than what it seems. You know, we know that the world offers nothing that can get us to heaven. God offers us salvation through His Son, and we must be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. In Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and 38, "Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?'" Verse 38, "Peter said to them, 'Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" So we are told what to do to be saved, and we get to choose to obey or not. God has allowed us to choose, but He wants us to choose wisely. He wants us to choose wisely. Even if we choose wrong, He gives us a chance to change and do what's right. You know, it's good that we have a patient God. It's good that we have a patient God. We must know that God can make our path straight, though, if we trust Him and do His will. Psalm 119 and 105. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You know, we must study our Bibles and learn all that we can so we can teach others. Psalm 119, verse 1. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the way of the Lord. Do we look as walking in the Lord as a blessing? You know, we are blessed if we do this. Do we consider it a blessing as we should to follow God and follow His will? Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 22. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 22. Will they not go astray who devise evil? But kindness and truth will be to those who devise good. If we walk the straight and narrow path, we have nothing to worry about. But if we stray from this path, then we have much to worry about. God wants us to be wise in our choices. Psalm 111 and verse 10. Psalm 111 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. This fear that is talked about is a reverence for God in each and everything that we do. God must be at the center of our lives. He must be at the very center of our lives. Fear is the beginning of wisdom. We have to start somewhere. Sometimes our paths can be rough, but as long as we know God is with us, or God is near us, then we can tackle anything that comes our direction. Mark chapter 4, verses 38 to 41. Mark chapter 4, verses 38 through 41. Verse 38, Jesus Himself was in the stern asleep on the cushion, and they woke Him and said to Him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down and became perfectly calm. Verse 40, and He said to them, Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" You know, we have storms in our life. Isn't it great that we can pray to God any time of the day when our storms get rough? You know, how often do we go to God in prayer in difficult situations? Or how often do we leave God out? God knows, He knows that we are weak and that we should call on Him when things are going good and when things are bad. Our weaknesses can make us stronger. Our weaknesses can make us stronger. Paul found a way to work through his weaknesses. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. The Bible reads, "Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself." Verse 8, "Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me." In verse 9, "And He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." You know, our lives can't compare to what Paul went through for the sake of Christ. Our lives cannot compare to what he went through. But through all these things, He was content with himself. You know, we think about those things that were listed there. You know, he was content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses. So we need to think about that sometimes. Are we strong in our weaknesses, or do we get caught up in the moment? You know, we all could say that we are weak in one or two aspects of our lives. But we have to work on it. We have to work on those things. But it doesn't happen overnight. We can't fix those things overnight. We have to work on those things. We have so many things to be grateful for, but we should not want anyone to perish. God wants us to have a love for soul winning. You know, how do we do that? And just a few things to mention here. Number one, it's an attitude that we must have to take the gospel to the lost. We must do that. We must help others follow your example by being an example. We must do that. We can set up Bible studies. We can invite people to services. So many things that we can do. And God wants us to be His hands because the kingdom needs workers for the Lord. He needs workers for the Lord. If our path is straight, let's help others get on the path that we're on. Let's do that. Let's help others get on that straight and narrow. We must discipline ourselves in this walk with God. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 5. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 5. Even though I am absent in body, nevertheless, I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and stability of your faith in Christ. We need good discipline and we need stability in our faith. Our paths can be made straight by studying God's Word and obeying it. Our course can be altered only if we choose to disobey His Word. We need a strong faith that no one can shake, that no one can move us. We must stand firm in the faith. We must stand firm. James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Verse 6. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea and driven and tossed by the wind. You know, our faith can be changed if we allow it to be changed. But our faith should get stronger each and every day. You know, Satan is at work in the world, and we must not listen to him. In James chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, James chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, therefore, put aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. In humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save souls. Verse 22, but prove yourselves doers of the word, and merely hearers who delude themselves. Put aside all filthiness. Receive the word implanted. Because why? Because it saves souls. The word saves souls. It's not us that does it. It's God's word that saves souls. We are God's helpers in bringing souls to the kingdom. God lets us choose our path. We can choose life. We can choose death. We can choose heaven. We can choose hell. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. The Bible reads, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You know, that was a charge to Joshua. You know, and it had to be comforting for Joshua to hear those words. And then we hear Joshua in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The choice is ours. The choice is ours. God allows us to choose right from wrong. He allows us to choose. If we choose right, heaven awaits us. If we choose wrong, hell is what awaits us. What will you choose today? This evening, the lesson is yours. If you haven't become a child of God and need to put Christ on in baptism, or if you are a Christian and you're struggling in your daily walk, whatever your need is, go ahead and make it be made known as we stand and sing the invitation song.